You might want to turn in your Bible to Exodus and chapter 3. In being Christmas Eve day before Christmas, in reminding ourselves of the birth of our Lord Jesus. Actually, we don't want to say birth, even though it's common. It's his incarnation. Birth is not the same as incarnation. You and I have birthdays. Christ never had a birthday. He was incarnated. You and I have a beginning birthday. He never had one. It's called the incarnation. So, in looking at that and reminding ourselves, if we can, God in his infinite awesome person is invisible. And since he is infinite and all of creation is in the middle of him, we're sort of stuck in trying to understand him or come to grips with him, because he's beyond the zillions of galaxies. He's God. Now, how do we handle an invisible God properly? So, and God communicated himself to his creation, to angels who could worship him, and to Adam and Eve, who heard and knew God created them, and God every day walked in the garden at least that much with them in taking a walk in his garden. And so God communicates himself. Point. Exodus chapter 3, you remember Moses. And Moses is 80 years old at this point, and God lets himself be known. How did God let himself be known? He took a bush that Moses would go by every day, every week. He'd pass that bush. That's what he'd do. And this time, God used the bush, and God set the bush on fire, as it were, his fire, and he spoke to him from the bush. And you have it in, if I can, chapter 3, verse 3. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here am I. Now, so God communicating to Moses by way of the bush, by way of the fire, God communicated. Now, Moses is going to go and try to bring that God to Pharaoh and to the people of Israel. That's his assignment. So when we come to chapter 3 and verse 14, Moses wants to know, how shall I identify the invisible God who you can't see? Egypt has all these pyramids and sphinxes and lions and all kinds of stuff to depict their God. How am I supposed to, they can point to this given image. What am I going to point to? Verse 14. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And I am, remember, I am, and the little word that, relative, I am who I am, literally. I am who I am. I am who I am. imperfect. I continue to be who I am. I can never be any other than who I am. So, and he goes, and Moses that takes that message and brings it to Pharaoh, to the people. Now, having said that, and in chapter 19, you remember, in chapter 19, God, they're at Mount Sinai, and God is going to go and introduce himself. And you remember, now, all the while we're looking, God, you can't see God. That's the issue. Well, what are we going to do with a God we can't see? Can't smell, touch. Exodus 19, verse 3. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, etc., and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. So, and they're listening. God's communicating. Moses is going to bring this message that we just read to the people of Israel. Chapter 19, verse 11. And be ready against the third day, for the third day the Lord will come down. Remember, they're getting ready to listen to God. Verse 11, be ready again against the third day, for the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. So all the people are going to have an experience to see God. Moses saw God in the fire in the burning bush. Chapter 19. And in verse 17. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the nether, that's the lowest part of the mountain. Verse 18. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, smoking, burning, because why was it all disturbed? Because the Lord had descended upon it in fire, the burning bush in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. Verse 19. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. So God is going to talk to Moses, and everyone else is going to have the privilege of being and listening to the conversation. Now, that takes place. Having said that, keeping that in mind, now, so they did, that's what they did. And there's no questions. Hang on to that. Now, over if I can, Deuteronomy 33 before I leave Exodus. And Deuteronomy 33, Moses, who understands God's an awesome person. At the burning bush, his first experience. And then up and down the mountain, into the fire, into where God was in the fire. The fire was in the bush. The fire's in the mountain. Moses is in the fire. He goes in. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, so here's Moses. He has an and, sliding over to verse 11, 33, 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Now, so here's Moses, and having all of that wonderful face to face with God, conscious of God, in a most wonderful way that God's able to do. And And in the process, Moses is excited, energized, stirred up. How can you be with God and see God like you've been Moses? And Moses, you haven't seen him. No, no. But I know him. He knows me face to face. The word faces always in the plural in the Bible. Faces, plural. And it has to do with other translated in his presence. In his presence. In his presence. Moses said, I've been in his presence. But that is just a taste. And therefore, no one else cares now. No one else even has an inkling. But Moses does, face to face. God, you must be something else. Therefore, you remember chapter 33. And Moses said in verse 18, he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Now, why would you say that, Moses? Because how can I be in your presence? I never see you, but I know you. You are awesome. Therefore, God, wow. Now, verse 19. And he said, I will make all my greatness pass before thee. And I'll proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. And I will be gracious to you, and to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, how canst thou canst not, N-O-T, see my face? For there shall no man see me and live, because it's impossible. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass that while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in a cleft of a rock. I'm going to hide you. I'm going to hide you in a cave. I'm going to put my hand in front of the cave. I'm going to do everything I can to protect you, because I'm going to pass by. I am most holy. I'm going to pass by. I'm going to protect you, Moses. You want to see my glory? You really want to see it? Yeah. I got to help you. You couldn't see me and live. You couldn't see my glory and live. Hang on to that. Now, verse 22. It shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. You're not going to see me. Just not going to see me. And therefore, Deuteronomy, after giving the Ten Commandments some more information to remind us, chapter 5 of Deuteronomy, and picking up in verse 4. This is at Mount Sinai. At 40 years are finished. Moses is rehearsing their 40 years, 38 years earlier, 40 years earlier. He's rehearsing their history to understand their obligations. Chapter 5, verse 4. And the Lord talked with you face to face in the mount out of the midst of the fire. Moses, face to face. God talked to the people face to face. They heard, remember, chapter 5, verse 24. And he said, behold, the Lord, 5 and 24, our God hath showed us his glory, his greatness. We have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God doth talk with man, and he liveth. Now therefore, why should we die? For the great fire, this great fire, will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord thy our God any more, we shall die. So they're very conscious of God, and but they never see him. No, that was him. So God, here we are. Now, sliding all the way over to John, the Gospel of John. Then in the Gospel of John, chapter 5. And picking up, if I may, and you recall little context, verse 36, 5:36. But I have a greater witness than that of John the Baptist, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape, and you have not his word abiding in you. For whom he hath sent, him you believe not, etc. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And verse 40, and you will not, N-O-T, come to me, that you might have life. So, God, you're going to go. No one's seen him. That our Lord said to the people, they're looking at the Lord. No one has seen God. No one has seen him. No one has seen him. But we're looking at you, Lord. That's right. We're looking at you. Now, having said that, over to 1 John. And in 1 John, and in chapter 4, my God, 1 John chapter 4, and you'll catch the flavor of it in verse 10. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation, a satisfaction for our sins, a payment. He made the payment satisfies God's righteousness. Verse 11, behold, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Verse 12, for no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Now, verse 13. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. So we have a wonderful, wonderful witness of God, but we can't see God. No, you can't see God. Sliding over to verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. If, verse 20, if a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? So, as you're going, God, you're invisible, and you make yourself known in a most wonderful way. Here's our Lord, born in Bethlehem, Judea, incarnation, and he's making himself known. But if they don't believe, all they see is human flesh. All they see is a man like all other men. He isn't an Eskimo, he's a Jew. All other men, that's how they see him. Okay, now, having said that, keeping that in mind, God. So what do we know, Paul, as you're looking at the Christian, all history, the church age, grace, the grace of God outworked, here we are. What do we know? 1 Timothy 1. And in 1 Timothy chapter 1, picking up, please, in verse 16. Howbeit, 1 Timothy 1:16. Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all longsuffering as a, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to eternal life. In other words, Paul was going around killing Christians, among other things, imprisoning them. So God, Paul says, listen, if God can save me, he certainly can save you. Now, verse 17. Therefore, to that God, glory. Now, unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. Now, so he's the invisible. Does he ever become? No, he's invisible. You can't come to grips with God. God changes not. He is infinite. Everything is in the middle of God. And here we are looking at the galaxies and everything up there. Like we're just reminded again to myself. Here's the galaxies, and they're in the Zen. The word, but what is the word? The word is 21. I'll go to the smallest first. Dot, and then 20 zeros. And then a one. That's how small. Point 20 zeros. Zettillion or whatever it is. Boom. Now I'm going to go the other way to the stars. I'm going to put 20 zeros. 20 zeros. And then a one, two stars. Light years. This little space, we're looking at the picture, we're looking at through the telescope, is but how many million light years across? Light years, 186,000 miles per second. Now, God, that is you. The world, solar system, is a little speck in your presence. Now you tell me how you come to grips with God. How could you possibly come to grips with God? Wow. Now, so therefore, we'll exercise what we try to say. Over to Hebrews. And in chapter 11, you remember, you want to know and remember how did Moses do before he got to the burning bush, before he ever got 80 years old when he's only 40 years old. What did you do, Moses? What did you have going for you to ever get as far as the burning bush? He had something going for him. He's in the middle of idolatry. The middle of Egypt and its idols. Chapter 11, remember, verse 27. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. For reason, he endured. How could he possibly hang in there as seeing him who is invisible? That's how he did it. He believed God. Like Abraham. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. That's what he did. He looked at the stars and said, God, without faith it's impossible to please him. Now, God, here we are looking, and you are awesome. And you said, without faith, Hebrews 11, well, you're right here. You write here, Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please him. Why is that? For he that cometh to God must believe, must be believing that he is. That's it. He is. I am that I am. I am who I am. I am. What else? I am. How can you explain it? God, because I am. Therefore, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him out. He pays fully all those that seek him. So now, having said that, and we're talking, we said it in the beginning, God, we don't use the word birthday rightly when it comes to our Lord, because he doesn't have a birthday. He is incarnate. This is the, Christmas is the remembering, his incarnation. He is born, but not like others. He is incarnate. He becomes flesh. That's what he does, incarnation. So therefore, in the light of that incarnation and seeking to go and help tie it so you can see it, remind yourself, I'm going to try to do a silly illustration. Now, if I can. Now, here's Adam. Adam. Apples. Adam. A for apples. A for Adam. You got it? There's Adam. Now, God looked at Adam, and Adam is the key. So what are you going to do? God's going to go, Genesis 2, and God's going to go and take, because he's going to repopulate the earth. That's the whole Genesis 1, 26, 27, 28. Adam and Eve, he made them male and female in his image and likeness to repopulate. Well, you can't do it this way. So, repopulate what? Adam. Adam, humans, going to make more apples. Humans. So God's Genesis chapter 2, and God takes out of Adam and has Eve. Two apples. That's how we got two apples. Where did this apple come from? It came from this apple. It came from Adam. All are in Adam. All of us are going to be in Adam. Now, so, having said that, now, and what do we know? Adam is the source, Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Adam is the source of sin, not Eve. Don't want to mix you up. I can't tell the difference. You got to, now. So, Adam is the source, Romans 5, 12. He's where sin, this is where sin comes from. Adam, not the woman. It comes from Adam. Adam. So all us humans, Genesis chapter 5, we have time, Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. And we have the chapter, a chapter on death. And so, therefore, chapter 5 and verse 1. This is the book of the generation of Adam. Adam, singular. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam, singular, in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness, not in the likeness of God. What happened? We lost our relationship to God. So everyone that's born, here comes Cain. Everyone that's born is born in sin. Where did they get it? From Adam. They got it. They got it. So here they are. And so when we read now, everyone's in his likeness. This is the line of Adam, Genesis 5. So as you slide down, you begin the section. Sliding down, begat sons and daughters. Verse 8. And all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died, and he died, and he died. Verse 11, and he died. They all die. Noam was dying. Genesis 5 is telling you the line of Adam. We all are born, but we all die. That's what we do. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so here we are going, and here we are, and we've got Adam and Eve, and Adam and Eve produced Cain, as I just did. So here we are. This would be a body, and here we are, and here's a man, and he loves this apple. He loves this apple. So he loves this apple. And the two apples are going to come together. And they're going to come together. They come together like this. And they produce this. This is little Cain. Little Cain. Where they come from? These two apples got together. The egg and the seed. The seed, Adam. And the egg, the woman. And they got together, and they produced. Where's the problem? The problem's coming from Adam, and that's why this fellow born is born dead in sin, the same as we are. We all catch the same thing from the same man, Adam. Now, having said that, so here's the Lord, here's Mary, and Mary's going to be there. You jumping ahead, and got the first part. I think you all know where you came from. You're born. I don't need to delve into that anymore. See, I got it. Now, so here's Mary. And Mary normally would, here's Joseph. But Joseph is kept away over here. Joseph's away. Now, and Mary is a spouse to Joseph. But Joseph can't stay there. Mary has to go and do what? Mary is told, Luke chapter 1, and in Luke chapter 1, verse 34, Luke 1:34. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? How can I possibly have the child? Verse 35. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest, same as in Genesis 1:2, and the Spirit of God hovered over the earth, and God created the earth. Chapter 1, verse 35. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born in thee shall be called the Son of God, etc. So, Mary, you're sort of stuck. That's right. So nothing's going to happen. No, God has to do something wonderful. God did it. So, we can't have Joseph. Now I have to get down on my knees and crawl under that pew. Did you ever drop things? I drop things. Did you ever drop? You drop them. You'd think it would be straight down, don't you? And you look straight down, and the dumb thing is way over there. If you wanted to throw it there, you'd have a problem. But just dropping straight down. Somehow it miraculously goes way over there. So, being Apollos, what can I tell you? All right. Me as Mary. The choir will be there someday, and someone will reach under and have and be eating an apple in the middle of the choir. Wow. Now, God, what are you going to do? Luke 1:35. Adam is going to be missing. No man. The woman has got not the problem. Where does sin, is it coming from? Adam. We're going to eliminate the man. And therefore, the Spirit of God, Luke 1:35, is going to go and going to go. And Mary is now going to be conceived, but not normal. No. The Spirit of God eliminated man, eliminated the sinner. That's why she's called Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman, not the egg of the woman, the seed of the woman. See, she represents all humanity. That's what she does. So we get saved in a most wonderful way. And the Spirit of God makes the Lord Jesus Christ, his incarnation, perfectly, perfectly God, perfectly man, never interacting, and yet marvelously beyond our understanding, are one. One person, the God-man. Now, what did that make possible? That makes possible. Yeah, you're in the mind now. I want to come to know the Lord as my Savior. And when I come to know the Lord as my Savior, what am I doing? This relationship, God to perfect humanity, paying for the sin of the world, the sin of the world, paid. So this is the normal, ordinary relationship God intended humans to have. They were made in his image and likeness to be able to enjoy, and God could find himself in the human heart. God could look at a human being and see himself. The Lord Jesus Christ is the God-man. He's the man God intended. This is what God intended for humans, to have that. Now, he makes possible, he pays the penalty for sin. So when I go, when we go, I don't have two apples, but in apples, God's going to go, as it were. And here's Adam, here's you, here you. You're able to go and receive him like that. That's how you get saved. Why do you get saved like that? Because God did that in Christ. And that makes you able to be saved in a most marvelous way. And that's why you're saved. It isn't any trick. It's no gimmick. It's what God is able to do. The same as he gave you physical life, my mother and father, he gave you a personal soul and spirit by way of God, and the God who made you, who live inside this body, God made you able to be saved. Christ died on the cross to make this possible. The incarnation. I don't know how many people understand that. It's no trick, no gimmick, not a fantasy, a wonderful thing. I'm going to receive God. Say, No. It just has to be. You were born physically quite normally, and you had nothing to say about it. You didn't tell the mechanics of it or anything. You just came out into the world. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you get saved, just like that. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, if you can, and I hope that helps you to understand something. I bet you the average believer, the average person, how are you saved? Well, I received Christ. Well, what did you receive? Well, I died. Do you remember receiving it? Do you remember when you just, it came in, I received it? No. Did you have any? No. No. No, I could have been brokenhearted and like many and get saved, or I could be fully alert. But I understand. I understand I need to know God. I can't know God because I have sinned. That is, I don't have any death. I don't have any relationship to God. I'm dead. I don't have any relationship to God. God, where are you? I don't have a relationship to Him. I need to be saved. I don't have one. I feel good. I need to be saved. Straightway. Now, therefore, if you would, keeping that in mind, over to Galatians. And in Galatians, picking up, if I can, keeping in mind Galatians 4, just to remind you, Galatians chapter 4, picking up in verse 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. That's what God did. He did. What for? To redeem them that were under the law. Why? That we might be receive the adoption to be placed as sons. And when we're placed as sons, when we get saved, verse 6, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts to cry, Abba, Father. Because you believe and receive Christ as your Savior, God made you a son. A son. God made you a son. You're a son. You weren't a son. You were like this. God did something wonderful. He made you a son. How did it become a son? You receive Christ as your Savior. Where are you found? In Christ, in God's wonderful person. God in me, and then, I don't have the apple, and this, and God, Christ in the middle of God. Wow. That's what God did. I get saved. Do I deserve it? Understand it? No. I don't understand. Do you understand? Here's your physical system. And that's why people go to medical school and all that stuff. Here's your 12 systems. Thousands of miles an hour, whatever they are. Literally. Trillions and trillions of cells every second. Do you understand that? That's all 12 systems working in your body, making you able to talk and walk and do everything. You don't understand them. I don't understand them. If I was a medical doctor, I still wouldn't understand them. I remember the heart doctor telling my father, this is years ago, so it's advanced, but he said when he was trying to whatever doing, and he said, we don't, this is a heart doctor, Boston Mass General, top doctor. He said, we don't understand 10% of the body. We just don't understand. We know what we know. And there's 1,000 things. Is it your cholesterol? No, cholesterol. It's your immune system. No, it's your immune system. It's the inflammation. Inflammation is the problem. You say, oh, boy, what you said? See, we have to keep learning, and we understand. We're trying to get cancer. We're trying to get cancer. But what is cancer, you see? And we're trying to find it, get it. And God knows. God knows. We just have to keep learning. Why? Because we're talking with God's creativity, God's marvelous person that he does. Over, if I can, please, Hebrews 2, Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews in chapter 2. Hebrews in chapter 2, picking up, please. Over, sliding a little bit, if I can. Over to verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also likewise took part of the same. Why? That through death he had to die on the cross. That's why he had to come in the body, body prepared for him. That he, through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. So he had to go and he had to put on a human house. He had to do that in the Virgin Mary. That's what he did. He didn't have it, the golden apple. God didn't have to give it. He had to make him human. God, who was always God, in a most awesome way, chose to also connect himself to man. He's the man, Christ Jesus, the God-man in Christ Jesus. He made him. He died on the cross for what reason? To be able to go and to show. Remember the jumping ahead. Here's the invisible God and here's all of creation. Why creation? Genesis 1:1 is not for angels. It's for us humans. Genesis 1:26, 27, that's us humans in his image and likeness. It's all about us. Angels are involved, but it's all about us. For what reason? That God can put on display his marvelous invisible person, his infinite person. And he took the universe, it's just finite, and he stepped into the universe and gave it infiniteness. You and I are finite. When you receive Christ as your Savior, you become like this. You're caught up in what? The infinite, invisible God. That's what you're caught up in. That's what it means to be saved. That's what Christmas is about. That's what Christmas is about. All the rest of it is jingle bells, all that's good. Away in a manger, all that's good. But if that's all we've got, and then someone gives you a special present, apple, that's good. But that isn't what Christmas is about. We're way off. And that's why we're where we are, headed down the corridor of time. I've got to quit. Anyway, I hope you got a little bit. Thank you.